Hey, everybody. I am so excited to introduce this episode's guest to you, my friend Doyle. And I am so lucky to call him friend. I hope that's okay with him. He has such a great story. He was born in England and raised in Ireland. And then, as you'll hear in this episode, moved to the States. Doyle has done a little bit of everything. He's been a summer camp director. He's a podcast producer, chorus singer, educator, as well as parent. And amazing, he's also a lifelong fan of science fiction. So, you know, right there, we're besties. I can't even tell you. Anyway, he has some great stories near the end of this episode. If you choose to listen to the longer form of the interview, all about ghosties and paranormal encounters. I love these kinds of stories. But what I like most about Doyle is that he believes that stories can connect us, heal us, and help us make sense of the unexpected. Besties again. So yeah, here's my interview with the seriously cool and sublimely intelligent Doyle.
The stuff that gets into the realm of darker stuff is I have heard mimicking in the sense that my sons have been here. I've heard them call me, and then I've gone to the room and they've insisted they didn't call me. And then one time I heard my son call me and he wasn't here. So my name is Doyle. It's not my actual name. My real last name is Doyle, but I go by Doyle because of the association of my full name. There's some people share my name who've done some things that I don't want to be associated with. But so I go by Doyle. I am originally from Ireland. I came over here to the United States in the early 90s to be a camp counselor. And I worked at summer camps for years and years, from summer 1993 to, showing my age, from summer 1993 to 2017, I've worked at summer camp every summer. I was a director of camps. I used to own a teen travel camp where I traveled around and took kids on adventure trips. I worked at the camp at Sequoia National Park. I worked at a camps in New York. I traveled around. I love camp. I met my wife, now ex-wife, at camp. And I'm an adventurer. I came over here at 20 years old. I tell people I didn't just move out of my parents' house at 20. I moved out of their country because I came over here. And when I came here, I was doing camp. I had no prospects of going to college because I got my high school diploma, which I could show you. Actually, I don't even know if I technically graduated high school but I have a certificate of completion, and it's abysmal. So when I came here, I discovered the thing called community college, which in the 90s they didn't have in Ireland. So I went to college, and I realized in college, you know, I'm really good at math, much better than I ever thought I would be. And then I got all my education. I have a BA, I have a master's degree, 3 teaching credentials, and I teach math and computers during the day. That's my day job. And I've always been into entertainment, and I worked in the film industry for a while too. So that was my first career in Ireland, and for a little while when I came here. So that's why I wanted to start the podcast. So I'm a dad. I'm an adventurer. I am someone who really is on a journey to discover the spirituality of the connection with people. I'm having this, my show, Spirit Talk Show, is affording me so much opportunity to connect with amazing people whose stories are like, I'm talking to people in New Zealand and I'm like, you are amazing. I have a lump in my throat. I'm speaking to you and you're across the world. And then people like yourself who come on, and you know, it's effortless. It's fun. And I said, oh, we could be BFFs right now, you know, because we are just connected from the second you spoke. It was laughing, easy, effortless, right? I have a guest who came on, and his comment for us, and I love the comment, was it's effortless just to talk and just feel welcomed and feel like, wow, feel seen. And that was you on our show. And that's why I was happy to come on your show and, you know, continue, because something that makes me a little bit sad is I meet people like yourself and I go, I go like, oh, they're so amazing. I want to get to know a person. And then you have to work on the next person and the next person, the next person. And then you forget like, I hope Kirsten remembers a month ago that I think she's amazing. I should maybe send an email. Like I've spoke to Howie, like we need to get more of this. This is effortless. And we want to do it. We want to start doing our shows where it's more about doing the plays. And I'm still going to do the interviews and stuff, but I want to do more, a little bit more of doing the plays and the poems and stuff like that, and have people like you who want to do that stuff on. So that's me. I'm a man who's trying to discover something more authentic in his life. And the podcast has led me down that path. Other connections I've had through retreats and stuff, you know, trying to connect with the spirit, the world, the God, whatever you, however you want to describe it. That was a really long answer to a short question.
I know, but I love it. I love every single moment. But immediately I was intrigued when you're like, in 1993, I came over for a camp counselor position. And I was like, wait a second. Okay. The internet, I don't think really existed in the way that it does now. Back then, how did you find this position as camp counselor at that time?
Well, yeah, I was in Dunleary, which is a town in Dublin, and I was applying to film school. And while I was waiting for the train, I walked into a community center and I saw a poster on the wall saying, because I was always an Americophile. When I was a little kid, all the encyclopedias I had, the America pages were so worn. I was mapping out states I wanted to go to. And I think it's my cousin went to America. She still lives in New York in the early 80s. And she came back and I just fell in love with America. And honestly, the hard edge to this story is my home life was a bit chaotic as, you know, so, and I think there was a little bit of escapism in there to get away from the chaos of my large family and the stuff that happened in my family and stuff that happened in my childhood. But I saw this, come and work at summer camp. They pay for your plane ticket. They pay for your insurance. They find a placement and they give you pocket money for this summer. And it was like, oh, OMG, I'm going. And my first summer I worked at a camp in Connecticut called Camp Hemlock, which was a disabled people. So I got to work with disabled people, lifting, wiping, playing, everything, you know, and it was an amazing experience. And then I worked at a religious camp in Ohio. And then I discovered a camp in Sequoia National Park. I worked there for 6 years and then traveled around and worked at the camps. And my own camp was called Camp High Places. And I'd pick up kids and take them on adventure trips. And because I wanted there to be adventure in my life, right? And that time I was married and my then wife came with me and did the camps. And so, but being at summer camp too afforded me the opportunity to go to school over here. I mean, my mom could never figure out how I was getting 4.0 in college because of my high school diploma. So, and I graduated with a 3.85 and my AA degree was 4.0. My master's was 4.0. And so, so I'm much smarter than they thought I was when I was a kid. You know, I was in pull-out special ed classes when I was a kid, mostly because of my stutter. You're probably not hearing it now, but I had a debilitating stutter when I was a kid, like, you know, that kind of really painful, can hardly say a sentence without. Candy stores were hard when I was a kid because in Ireland, you used to have to ask for the candy on the back wall, not just pick up the bar, right? And so I don't think I ever got anything in the candy store because I didn't want to ask, right? So, believe it or not, there was many years people hardly ever heard me talk because of my stutter.
Oh, wow. Wow. I do have to say that I love your adventurous spirit, you know, because to be that age and be in a train station and then see this ad and then just decide I'm going to do it is remarkable. Absolutely remarkable. Even if you were an Americophile I'm just in love with your adventurous spirit. Were your parents, were they happy? Were they excited? Were they nervous?
I would say that my mom, who is now, she's passed on now, but my mom was, she liked things to go her way, let's say. So I think I probably fibbed a little bit about what I was doing. She thought I was just going for a 2-month adventure to America. And so they were supportive when I went, but my thought was, I don't think I'm going to come back. I mean, I did come back the first few years. I stayed for 6 months, and then I stayed 1994. I stayed for 6 months and I came back. But then 95 is when I came and I stayed. And I knew I was going to do that. But so I don't think my mom could understand that, why I wanted to live so far away from the family. And, you know, there's this Irish Catholic tradition of you just, you know, family's everything. You must stick with the family. It's always about family. And I have to say that family is important to a lot of people and to me, but family also doesn't get to be abusive, right? You know, I'm not required to stay in an environment that's damaging to me, right? Just because you have this moniker of family, right? And so I found my chosen family, and now I have two sons, as you know, and I've really close family, like friends, Howie being one. You've met Howie, and I'm doing good, but there were some hard beginnings, and I, at the time, it was a mixture of adventurous spirit and I got to get away from this. And if I come to America and it doesn't work out, it's probably better than being in this family situation, which wasn't always healthy for me.
Absolutely. I have Scottish in my family, and I have not been back to Scotland. It's on my bucket list to go and spend time there. I mean, my mother's already been there and she's met some of our kind of quote unquote distant relatives there. But does that automatically make us enemies since you're Irish?
No. I would say the contrary, that the Catholics, the Celtic people were all pushed out to the peripheries by the British, the Normans. And so we're all just from the same tribe.
Yeah.
So definitely not. I mean, definitely there's a lot more kinship. Yeah. I have a kinship. Weird.
I like it.
There's more kinship with the Celtic people. And you do have that look of the Celtic. I need to take you to Scotland. It's beautiful, by the way. You'd love it.
I know. Well, I was going to ask you, have you been to Ireland now later in your life? I've lived in the U.S., you know, a large portion of my life. But for example, I've never been to the East Coast. I've never been up to Massachusetts or Rhode Island. And I know when you grow up in a country, they're huge. You can't possibly see everything. So have you ever gone back to kind of explore the country a little further?
Absolutely. I've gone back as a tourist, in fact, for a few years, and I still kind of do it. I take a group of friends and do the dream circuit of Ireland, right? The dream circuit. Take 10 days and I'm their private chauffeur and I drive them and I get to experience parts of Ireland. And now when I go back, I'm seen just as an American tourist. They don't see me as a local anymore, which I don't know if I like that, but I am Irish and I am a citizen of Ireland and Britain, in fact, but also United States. But I know the little tricks and places to go, like when you go to the Cliffs of Moher to take the ferry over to Kerry, which is a cool Irish experience, to take a little old like ferry along the mouth of the Shannon River. That's a really fun thing to do. And when we go to Killarney, the secret places of Killarney that the locals know, you know, so I love it. And I love to go back and discover it. And Ireland has changed so much. I don't feel it's such a different country. When I left in 93, there wasn't a lot of opportunity for people who were 20, 21. And now it's exploded. It's such a millennial X generation country now. And I feel like an old man when I go there. I'm not that old, but yeah. My family still lives there. You know, my dad is still alive. My brothers all live there. And well, one brother lives in the other. Oh, there's a dog. Sorry.
Oh, that's fine. So you're Gen X then, I would think, aren't you?
I'm Gen X. Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm 53. So,
okay.
What's the generation that's younger than millennial then?
Isn't there a generation? Oh my gosh, Alpha. There's Gen Z. I know that one because I have multiple nieces and nephews in Gen Z. There's millennial, and then I feel like, oh my god, is it Alpha?
So my 19-year-old son is, is that Z? I don't know. I'm sure we could look it up.
Let's be old together, Doyle. Okay.
Yeah, it's okay. I think I'm happier now in this stage of my life. I think it's the happiest I've been in a long time. So I'm doing great.
Me too. I agree. Let me ask you the second question, because I think this is intriguing. I think a lot of people just assume if you live in Ireland, you're Catholic, but that doesn't necessarily have to be the case. Did you grow up in a religious household? What did that look like? And then how has your kind of attitude, deep feeling, connection to something divine or outside of yourself changed as you've gotten older?
Well, I think there's a long path to this, and I don't want to talk too long. I did grow up. Okay. Our house was Catholic. And I think if you ask my mother, she would say it was a religious household. But my observations as a child is it was just a parents' religious household, right? It was traditionally Catholic, right? We went to church, but there wasn't really a lot of, you know, they went to church, but there wasn't a devoutly religious family. You got to understand about Ireland too, the relationship with religion. When I was a kid, the Catholic Church pretty much in the late 80s and the 70s, the Catholic Church pretty much controlled the country, right? And so the contrast is when I was 18, 79% of people were considered themselves religious and went to church. Today it's down to 7% of the country. So there's been a big resurgence away from the church in Ireland. And it's because of my generation, we went to school, our school was a religious school. We went to church and, you know, there was things that were just contrary. Like, you know, I remember getting in trouble because this is a really sad story. I don't know, but my dog had died. Right. Mm-hmm. And I remember going to church and saying, my dog died. He went to heaven. And the teacher, who was pretty religious, says, no, dogs don't go to heaven. Like, why would you say that to a child whose dog died? And I just said, being always there, like, did you just say, I said, well, we don't know, really. We don't know. And she got upset with me because I wouldn't concede the point that my dog was not in heaven. So she thought it was an important thing to do for a 7-8-year-old, for him to concede that a dog he just lost was not in heaven. And that kind of damaging, kind of aggressive, you know, we'd see the priest on Sunday talking about love and forgiveness. And then in school during the week, he'd be malicious and petty. And so in church, he'd say love and forgiveness. We'd say, you didn't forgive me on Monday, Father. Right. So there was contradictions. And so we grew up in this very controlling, like the age of consent in Ireland is 16, but condoms couldn't be purchased until you're 18, right? So just things that made no sense. And so a lot of my generation turned away from church. However, I will say, I believe in an intelligent designer in the universe, right? I don't know if I believe in the Judeo-Christian, like Jesus Christ. I believe he existed, right? I believe he's a person that existed. I don't believe in literal things like the floods and stuff like that. I think they're allegories and they're stories, but I do have a connection with spiritual. I would say that I'm a believer in there being a designer. I think a lot of intelligent people, so like Stephen Hawking said that the universe is curiously designed for us or something like that. So, and he was a famous physicist atheist, right? So I think I had this very aggressive childhood with religion and very controlling. So I think I went through a period in my early 20s of saying I was an atheist, but I don't think I ever was an atheist. I think I was agnostic, someone who believed in power. And I think I went to study apologetics. Are you familiar with apologetics? So when I got, Yeah, when I met my wife. My wife was quite religious, my ex-wife now, and I started to study apologetics is studying how math and science can be used to explain, to prove that there is a creator and a God. And there is actually a lot of math and science, like a thing called irreversible complexity. There are things that exist in nature that can only have been created in their complex form. There's no way for earlier forms of it to have built up to it. So this thing has to have been created, right? There's a mathematical formula called the ceiling of probability, which proves that life can't have been created by chance. It was created by some. So I do believe in that. I'd say lately in the last few years, I have been connecting with spiritual. I actually had a profound experience on my show. That show isn't even released yet. I have a person coming out. I'm trying to see when it's being released. I have a person who came on called Beatty Carmichael. He's a nationally known prayer healer, right? And he came on my show and he did a session with me on the show. And I'm looking at my show to see when it's going to be released so we can tell people right now. Sorry.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
Yeah. And he came on the show and he, you know, we're just talking about his thing. He came from a line of physicians. He's not a physician, but he decided to follow this path of being a prayer healer. And he did a session with me and it was amazing. It was amazing. He really connected with me. He knew things about, you know, I prayed. It's going to come out. This episode is going to come out in July. I don't know when your episodes could come out. What's the time, the lead time? But Beatty Carmichael, he did this. And I thought this would be fun to do this. And it was profound, right? Like he did this. We talked about anxiety and we prayed it away to the spirit. And he asked me, how do you feel now? And I said, I don't know if I just want to please you because you're on my show, right? Because we did this thing and I want you to be right, right? Because I want to please you. But I truly feel like there's being a removing of anxiety that has affected me ever since then. So I think there was something profound happened, something spiritual happened, some God connected with me. So I would say that I'm not a big believer in organized religion because some of the meanest people I've met have been people in churches, but I think I'm a believer in a designer, a God, a spirit, someone who's, you know, so right now I'm, you know, so I'm on a spiritual path and I'm, you know, I talk to the person or the spirit and I have leaned into experiences that have seen that have seemed like I've been touched by a God or a spirit. So I do believe there's something there. I mean, I don't know if I would say that the whole Jesus Christ story and the flood story and, you know.
Yeah.
What apologetics allows you to see the stories on the Bible and how some of it can be proved with science. There's a lot, obviously, that can't be proved with science, and I don't think it has to be, but.
Yeah, I actually, you know, you said apologetics and I was like, huh, you know, because C.S. Lewis wrote a book, Apologetics, and then
The Case for Christ.
Yes. And then, of course, the ancient philosophical treatise. But I did not know that there was this, I guess, realm in where religion and math intersect. I think that's actually pretty gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you now, you said you discovered you have this when you were younger, this facility for math. Do you work now in theoretical areas in math or do you teach math? What do you do? Like, what about math captivates you, I guess?
Well, I think the thing about you, people need to understand about math, and it makes me sad that math and culture is depicted as this unobtainable thing for people. You know, the joke in a Disney movie is, oh, I took my math class. Oh, no, not math class. But the thing about this, you know, because people have this perception from ineffectual teachers who've told them that there's one way to do math, right? And I've been a math teacher for years. You got to understand math is musical, right? Math is pattern and math is perfect, right? So if you can prove something mathematically, you've proved it perfectly. If something fits in a pattern mathematically, like Fibonacci sequences, right? Is a perfect math thing and you can, the golden ratio, the way our faces look pretty is based on Fibonacci sequencing, you know, the way that petals appear on flowers is Fibonacci sequence. And we've got this math this math for formula that can be seen infinitely across the universe, the way planets move, the way our cells divide, the way our face looks. This math formula is everywhere. So I think math is the closest that we have to actually seeing God on Earth, right? Because it's this perfect thing that is in everything.
Yeah.
Right. So God created math. And it's so sad to me that people see it as this thing that is this hard thing you have to do. Like you have to remember this formula. And I remember in my math classes, my students were allowed to do it intuitively any way that you can. It's about figure out a pattern, right? I had a girl in my class one time that figured out a new pattern how to do a math. She was in eighth grade. She figured out a new pattern how to figure out this math. And she'd been told in every class, no, that's wrong. That's not the way to do it. And I looked at it. Her name was Alex. I looked at it and said, this is amazingly simple, beautiful thing for this new way to do this math thing. And I published it online in a math forum, and teachers all over the world were saying, this is so cool. Who made this up? And now I've recently, that was about 10, 15 years ago. Now it's in math books. I see it in math books now. So this was something created by an eighth grader who just could see a different pattern, right? So math is, and being able to see that. So when I can prove something with math, like the ceiling of probability, there's this mathematical formula called the ceiling of probability. It's nothing can exist by chance after this chance of probability. I don't want to bore your listeners because it's pretty complex how to get to the ceiling of probability. But mathematicians have said that this is the ceiling of something can't happen by chance. Because you know, like if you're winning the lottery, if there's 15 numbers and there's 60 options, there's trillions of possibilities, right? That of combinations. But there's a ceiling that, you know, because we have 46 chromosomes and they came together in a way that, so 46 random things for that to happen, the chances of that happening by chance are beyond the ceiling of probability. So that is 100% definite, perfect proof that something created us and the universe. So how can nobody can say that's faith. That's not faith. Math isn't fate. Math is perfection. Math is musical pattern, and it's repeatable every day. Like that probability formula is repeatable daily. And so like that seems so beautiful to have something that here I've got this golden egg of, you know, you want the God talking to you and saying, God, it'd be nice if you could give me perfect proof that you exist. Well, he has. It's in math. But you have to spend some time understanding math for what it is.
Yeah. I mean, I love math as well. I'm not adept at math. But I do appreciate the patterns that there are in nature. I do. One of the things that I love, prime numbers, I think they're fascinating because they're very, very mysterious, which is exciting. And then I love perfect numbers as well. Because not, you know, people have heard of primes, but they haven't heard of perfect numbers. And I just think to myself, the patterns are everywhere, like literally. And, you know, they've said, well, we haven't found, you know, the pattern in the prime numbers. And I yet, you know, and I just thought, you know what, we haven't gone far enough. It's there. I feel like it's there. We just haven't gone far enough. And so I think math and numbers, they're fabulous, fabulous.
I 100% agree. Prime numbers is mysterious because people always think that a really high number has to be able to be broken up into many parts. But if you can get a really, really high prime number that can only be broken up into itself in one, that feels so mysterious that there's a number that's billions of 100 digits long, but its only factors are itself in one is phenomenal to people and to comprehend. I love asymptotes. That's what really got me excited in math. The asymptote, the concept that there's this line that can always get closer but never touch. So that just seems like science fiction, right? That it always gets closer. It always gets closer, 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 but it will never touch. So there's an infinity between one and two. And that's just boggling to the mind. So I love that. And Mostly what I've taught for years has been algebra and high school math and stuff. And I've been very successful because I have a passion for math and I have a passion for communicating. So I was very successful with getting a lot of people to see it's not just like do your homework. And, you know, I never give homework in my class because it's just an exercise in futility and cheating. So I don't want you to spend time at home stressing about it. I want you to spend time here experiencing it and seeing how it works.
Yeah. Math is very elegant in the way it can be so simple sometimes. And then in other times it can be very complex. And so it's really beautiful. I love, you know, my last comment on math. I love, what is the equation? Is it Drake's equation for how much sentient life is in?
Oh yeah. The 1% equation.
Yes.
I said 1% of 1% of 1% of 1%. It goes like if 1% of all stars has planets and 1% of those has a planet that could have life and 1%, 1%, 1% down like 100 levels, there's still, and each one becoming has creatures or creatures that got sentience. It's still billions of planets in the universe that have sentient life.
I know.
So nobody who understands math could ever say that we're alone in the universe, but no, nobody could ever say that in math. The problem is they might be infinite. They might be disgustingly far away, right? They could be a billion light years away. So unless we can travel faster than the speed of light, you know, we're never going to meet them. But I like science fiction too. So
me too. Me too.
I was watching Star Trek Voyager today when I woke up at 3 a.m. Yes.
You know, I really am super bummed out that they canceled the Academy show already. Like they didn't even give it a chance.
Yeah. American TV tends to not, like, if you watch BBC, that's why I like BBC shows. They take a chance. Like, if they put a show, you can guarantee it's going to be on for at least a year or two because they let it go for at least three seasons. Now, I do think they did try to make, I think they tried to make it a little bit too woke, the Academy. Mm-hmm. Like, and I was missing a little bit. It was a little bit more of the interpersonal drama rather than the, but I do love that they brought, who's the person from DS9, that character that lives, the symbiote that comes, that changes. Yeah, but Jake, the son from DS9 appeared on one of the episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I love that, so.
Yeah, I like the cast. I like the casting because I'm a huge fan of the lead actress. So it was just kind of fun to see Holly Hunter in that role.
Holly Hunter was great. Okay. Yeah. I mean, yeah. So I can say that I watched it. It wasn't my favorite Star Trek because they tried to give it a different look. They tried to give it. What I miss from Star Trek is in Next Generation, society was enlightened. We were there to help and build each other up. But then in Picard and a little bit in that one, it started to show society as a little bit backstabbing, like again. And I missed that what I like about Star Trek is this perfect society that they have.
Yeah.
But I mean, I like them too. I watch them. So yeah.
I like the original just because I completely cannot get over the Tribble one. Because it just delights me to no end. And then also I just love the, you know, when they beam down to a planet and there's that extra person there, you just that they're going to get taken out. They're not coming back. They are dead. It's just the best.
They made fun of that in Galaxy Quest. You know, when Galaxy Quest, he says, oh, Phil, I forget the name, Phil. Phil's going to die. And then says, no, I'm not going to. And it's because he's the red shirt that came down with him. Yeah,
totally. Oh, see, we've covered a lot of bases so far. So I'm going to ask you the main question, but we've covered math. We've covered primes. We've covered, you know, I mean, camp counseling, which, you know, I think takes, you have to have a really brave heart to do that because kids these days. And Ireland, I love the scope of our conversation. Okay. So the main question, Doyle, are you ready? I would love for you to share, you know, it can be one story, it can be two stories where you feel like you have either experienced or witnessed something that was magical, miraculous, or mysterious.
Well, okay. So the first story that came to, I went to a conference recently, and one thing they talked about is, you know, when you're, people are asking you a question and you're thinking about your answer, formulating so I can answer. But what it's also important to just listen to the person. And then when it's time to talk, the first thing that your brain's going to throw up the first thing. Because the first thing that my brain threw up is when my son Aiden was born. And I remember taking, so he came out of his mom, and it was really, you know, I was there in the birth room, of course, and his head came out, and they pushed his head up, and he started screaming. And it was, and then they took him over to the table, and they put him down on the table, and I came over, and he was crying. And I said, "Hi, Aiden," totally stopped crying, total silence. And it was such a magical, spiritual bonding experience of, he saw me, he knew who I was, I made him feel safe. Oh. And it was so amazing. It was such an amazing thing. And wow. My other son did that too when he came out. So it's like, I must have a deep voice, and they heard me when they were in there, and they, but I mean, experiences, I don't know if when you're saying spiritual, I kind of read that as uplifting. I've had some paranormal experiences in my house and in my life too.
Hear those?
Yes. So you're speaking to me right now. This is my house, and the room that I'm in is my bedroom, right? And this room is, my house is haunted, and I'm a science guy. So you see, by the way, if you see anybody walking back there, I'm totally home alone. So I don't know. My house is an old house from the 50s. It's a farmhouse. There's some conversion. There's three confirmed deaths have happened in the house. One person died right here, like where I put my hand. The bed used to be oriented that way, but it's oriented that way now. And one person died in this room. And a little girl died in the house, I believe, and another person died in the back. And when I got my divorce, suddenly I was here alone in my house, right? And I would hear things. My house is, it's a raised, it's wood flooring. It's very difficult to sneak around my house, right? So at night I sleep with my head on the wrong side of the bed, because I want my head to be under the fan, and I keep the door open because my dogs are going in and out. And I'd hear footsteps coming down the hallway. And then I heard, one time I woke up and my dog was halfway out the door with her butt wagging, like she was meeting a new person. And then, the stuff that gets into the realm of darker stuff is, I have heard mimicking, in the sense that my sons have been here, I've heard them call me, and then I've gone to the room and they've insisted they didn't call me. And then one time I heard my son call me and he wasn't here. And then, of course, I was a little concerned, like, okay, do I have some schizophrenia? Is there something going? I'm hearing voices, right? But then one day my oldest son and I were in the kitchen, and we both heard a man's cough. And then, so that was to get our attention. There's nobody else here. And then we heard my youngest son say, hey, dad, come back here. We both heard it. And so the reason I said it's dark, because if you look up the studies about this, mimicking and bad smells are considered darker stuff. It's not, you know, so I've had... ghost shows have been out of my house. There was a movie filmed at my house, a ghost movie called Ghost Hunt was filmed here. And they used some of the investigation equipment. I used to be part of an investigation group called, I invited a group of investigators to come to my house, and they found what they thought was a girl. And we have a photograph of like the top of a door, like a character, like peeking down from the top of a door. We have a full body apparition upstairs, walking past the camera. And I was on two ghost shows, where ghost shows came out, the film here and the movie. So it's been quiet the last a few years. And I think the reason it's quiet is because I keep lights on at night, not inside lights, but my outdoor lights, they're LEDs. So I leave them on. I've got LED lights that are on throughout the house all night. So it's a little brighter at night. So I think that has helped, but I'm not afraid of it. I'm not afraid of it. It's not something that feels dangerous. And, but I know that me and my son experienced the disembodied voice of someone who wasn't there. So it wasn't something, of course, whenever people tell ghost stories, I'm just telling you this ghost story, I could be lying, right?
Yeah.
But I know what I experienced, and he knows, and he's a total skeptic. He's a total skeptic. He thinks it's total crap, but he heard it and he confirmed he heard his brother calling. Yeah.
So, so let me ask you, with your scientific bent, with the mind that is interested in math, and but also your extensive conversations with so many people on your podcast, what do you think is happening there? Like, what do you think these entities are? Are they caught? Are they stuck? What is your feeling?
Well, I think there is a mixture of a few things. We don't understand the universe, for one. We don't, lots of parts of the universe. I think that our bodies recycle and recreate things. And I think the way our bodies work is an indicator of how the universe works. So I think it's possible that the universe recycles spirits and the spirits that are caught. But I think also there's study. This is getting into a little bit more math stuff. And I did a show about it on my podcast. There's a study about quantum physics and the continuation of life, right? How people can exist in a quantum state after death, right? And there's studies about, there could actually be life after death in this different state of existence that we can't really comprehend now, which we'll probably comprehend after death. But I do believe that a lot of people, our consciousness continues in some form after death. And I think also, I think a lot of, we don't know, this is an old building, right? What materials went into this building? Maybe there's some kind of like atmospheric reaction to what's in the buildings that has recorded things. We have a tape recorder, it's a little tape, right? It's just chemicals and things put together that we realize if they're put together in this form, they'll record things. So maybe there's other elements and temperatures and stuff in houses that record things, right? So it could be something like that. But I think the most interesting one, I think, is the quantum. You should read about a quantum life after death and quantum physics. We did a show about it, maybe two seasons ago. And it was it was a very popular show. So we did another one, and there's a lot of writing about it, a lot of research. So I think the point is we don't understand a lot of what's going on. I refuse to believe that the universe created this being that has intelligence and a spirit just to exist for 80 years and then just fitter out into the ground, right? I think the universe is developing this spirit for something. There's a purpose to our spirit, right? And it's creating it. And so it's going to, it's going to continue that spirit on in some other form, maybe reincarnation, maybe a different form of existence, right? But so I think, was that a convoluted answer?
No. It just brought up so much for me. I read through threads. I don't participate very much, but every once in a while, I get dropped into a conversation where, a mother will say, "Hey, my kid said this the other day, and I can't wrap my head around it. Has anyone else had anything?" And then all these people respond. And here's an example of what I'm talking about is, the initial poster will say, "When my daughter was three, apropos of nothing, in the middle of nowhere, we were sitting at the breakfast table and she said, 'Oh my gosh, it's so fun to be the one that doesn't have to make the breakfast now. Remember when I made breakfast for you every day?' And then we'll just drop it." And the mom's like, "What?"
That's funny. I've experienced something like that. Now that you made me remember it, I was in Amsterdam a few years ago and I was walking down the street and there was this weird, not deja vu feeling, but this weird you know, I think there's a thing in Welsh language called hyrath, and it's like homesick for a place you've never been.
Yeah.
And I said, there was an alley here, and I said, guys, wait a second. I got to go down here because just around the corner, there's a little house with a trellis over the door, and it was number 10. And I used to be a red door, and I walked down, and this first time in Amsterdam, first time we'd ever walked in through, and we walked down the alley, and there was just right as I described, there was a door, number 10, and it was red. It was still red, and it had the trellis exactly the way I had described it. And so I think there's sometimes we do get glimpses of past lives, or because reincarnation sounds like the most scientifically likely thing, right? That energy is built and created, then we're going to use that same energy again for another creature. That makes sense to me.
Well, it's very efficient, right? And because energy is neither created nor destroyed, it follows one of the laws of thermodynamics. But also, I've always said, you know, my mother was an avid gardener, and I would help her, and she'd say, okay, we're putting the annuals over here. And I, you know, years and years ago, I thought, oh my gosh, are we annuals or perennials? I was always thinking about that. And then I thought, you know what? I think we're perennials because the universe or that benevolent force or whatever you want to call it doesn't waste anything.
Well, even plants. Plants can be, you could take a plant and create a new whole new plant from it. So, I mean, I think it's, I think there's, this body is not me. We're driving, we're inside this body, right? This isn't who I am. This is the vessel I'm in right now. And I think it would be, So, I mean, as you get older, people get afraid of death and stuff. And I mean, sometimes you get a little anxious, of course, but also I truly, truly believe there's something afterwards. So it's okay. And if there isn't, it doesn't matter because I won't care. So.
Love the episodes that come with a ghostie or two. When Doyle told me what his stories were going to be about, I was kind of excited. He does, in fact, himself have the most incredible podcast, and he talked about it a little bit earlier in the episode, but I want to make sure that you all do not miss it. He is the host of Spirit Talk Show, Bedtime Stories for Grown-Ups, and I was lucky enough to be on the show. We had the best time, all three of us, Doyle, Howie, and I. We just had the best time. So I was really honored when Doyle said yes to coming on my show because, our rapport was so fabulous. I knew I wanted to connect with him again. There's going to be incredible, incredible fun links in the episode show notes, so you can check out Doyle and all the cool stuff he's doing in the world. Find out a little bit more about this insanely cool human being. I want to thank him for coming on the show, and I want to thank him for being so open to telling his spooky stories. You know what I'm going to say now. Ratings and reviews are where it's at. So if you feel like you'd like to leave a rating or write a review, well, then we're besties as well. Those ratings and reviews help other people find the podcast, and they make me really, really grateful for how kind you are in choosing to do either. Thank you for listening, and here's my one request. Be like Doyle. Be cool. Be chill. Be into sci-fi. Be into ghosts. And don't be afraid of those ghosts. I thought it was really remarkable that Doyle was like, the house has a few ghosts. And I thought to myself, I would have run away screaming. But apparently, Doyle is made of sterner stuff. So be like Doyle and do not be fazed. Be super cool, no matter what you encounter. I mean, I think that's a great prescription for life and maybe might help us navigate the turbulent waters we might find ourselves in. So be like Doyle and be cool. and let nothing, and I mean nothing, faze you.
My podcast is called Spirit Talk Show Bedtime Stories for Grownups, and it's available on all platforms you can ever find it on, Apple and Spotify and Podbean. And it started as a spirit of talking about ghosts and stuff. But then as we started talking to people, we realized we enjoyed connecting with people and really hearing their story and holding space for them and help letting them be seen and heard. And then it gave us so much. It started the AI stories, but then the AI stories were just a way to connect with people. It's not about the AI stories. It was about the connection and feeling the spirit of people, even in this long distance relationship that I have with people. And then it became this uplifting connection of stories and people and spirit and joy and building people up. And so we get to release a show every week. I release it Wednesdays at 3:00. And that's the reason I do that is because my show started as an actual radio show on the air. And that was my slot, Wednesdays at 3:00. That's the time it was broadcast. And then after a year or two, I decided I'm going to just make it a podcast, right? Not because, I mean, I had listeners on the radio, but a lot more listeners on the podcast. So, yeah. So, you know, go to spirittalkshow.com or .info, and you can hear the show and see my beautiful face. And read everything about the show and maybe contact me about if one of your listeners has a story they want to tell and come on the show. I am very booked, but I do try to get the important stories in as quick as I can. If you try to book in my calendar right now, I think it's October people are booking. But when I find a story that's really good, I can fit them in too.
Wow. I love that you're so in demand.
Yeah, it's not nice change.
Oh, great. Also, I'm so excited and happy for you that it's become such a raging success. I mean, that makes me really, really happy. As we know, what are there, like 3 million podcasts in the world? So to get your voice out there, heard in any way, shape, or form, and to be appreciated and gain longtime listeners is actually a miracle itself. So, but yeah. I think really it's the conversations, it's the guests, it's Howie. Okay. Shout out to Howie. It's Howie. And just what you've created, the way the show kind of unfurls and all the fun that you build into it, I think is really captivating for people. So thank you.
Pleasure. I'm very excited that we seem to be rated in the top 100 every week of, you know, it's good. And we just do it. It comes from a place of joy. I think people are seeing just a place of joy and love and trying to help people be seen. And it's super fun too. It feels like a lot of work sometimes, but I mean, it's rewarding. It's an adventure. And I'm just excited to see where it grows.